U.S. commanders say more than 2,000 newly trained Iraqi troops are taking part in the Fallujah offensive, and their performance is being closely watched. That's because the reformed Iraqi Army and National Guard will be responsible for providing security in Iraq once U.S. troops leave. Over the past century, the United States has trained a number of other foreign militaries. As NPR's Tom Gelton reports, the assignment is always challenging.
U.S. commanders always knew part of their mission in Iraq would be to leave a new army there, one not associated with the brutality of Saddam Hussein's regime. But within a few weeks after the fall of Baghdad, as a violent insurgency took root in the country, the work of putting that Iraqi force together looked a bit more difficult than anticipated. Army Major General Paul Eaton was initially in charge.
Originally, we recruited these men not to be an army that would be inwardly focused, but rather focused outward to defend the nation. And it was only as the insurgency developed that we had to reorient the army and change the basis for recruitment.
It's one thing to recruit Iraqis to defend their country against foreign enemies, something else, General Eaton says, to get Iraqis to fight their own countrymen, maybe even from their own tribe.
It is that issue of convincing the Iraqi that he is a member of a security force that is subordinate to the nation, subordinate to the government, and working for the national government.
It's a situation the United States has faced many times before during other interventions. Historian Richard Millett, who has written extensively on military regimes, says the United States built 5 armies just in the Western Hemisphere, all to deal with insurgencies in their own territories.
We created 2 of them from scratch, essentially, in Cuba and Panama, and we dismantled existing military institutions and replaced them with U.S.-created models in Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and Nicaragua. What's fascinating, of course, is that, first of all 5 of these countries later turned into military dictatorships. All 5 of them later required return U.S. interventions.
So is it a lost cause for U.S. commanders to set out to rebuild another country's army?
No, but you have to be, first of all, very realistic about the limits of influence. There are some things you can do and some things you can't.
One lesson learned, especially in Latin America, is that armies can't be built in isolation. Millett and others who have studied the history of army building say stable militaries can be developed only as part of the broader establishment of legitimate government responsive to public needs. Retired Army Colonel Bill Flavin of the Army War College says the U.S. experience of training other militaries over the past century, from the Philippines to Vietnam, also shows it needs to be a long-term process.
For those countries and areas that we maintained a relationship over a long period of time, the Philippines over a long period of time, the track record is much better for those countries that we were there for a short period. And by short period, we're talking about 10, 15 years. The record's spotty.
By that standard, U.S. troops could be needed in Iraq for many years, at least in an advisory role. Flavin himself was a military advisor in Vietnam and insists that ultimately progress was made there in building up a South Vietnamese force.
Unfortunately, by that stage of the war, we were more interested in disengaging and passing onward rather than ensuring that what we were developing would have longevity and support over the long haul.
The South Vietnamese Army collapsed, as have many other U.S.-trained armies. Another lesson is that U.S. trainers sometimes underestimate the challenge they face. It's not enough to train people to fire weapons, for example. They need to know when to use them and when not to. As Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said yesterday in a Pentagon news briefing, there are no metrics or objective standards by which a new army's growth can be measured.
The easy thing to do is to recruit people and equip people and train them. The hard stuff is developing non-commissioned officers and junior officers and senior leadership and key officials in the Ministry of Interior and the Ministry of Defense. Those are the soft things that you don't have metrics for. How good is morale? How good is leadership? And that's a problem.
U.S. forces currently in Iraq have the benefit of being able to draw on the lessons of past military training missions around the world. U.S. commanders emphasize how important it is to have the Iraqi troops clearly under the direction of their elected political leaders. And the Iraqi troops have been given assignments for which they are uniquely suited, overseeing reconstruction activities, for example. But history teaches it's not been easy for the United States to set up a new military in another country, especially in one facing an insurgency. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.